The following podcast may contain inappropriate language, sexual content, and spoilers. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to the Gonzo.moe, no-name anime show. It's not the newsroom. What are you talking about? This is the no-name anime show. This is, technically, we're in the year of After Yashahime, episode 2 of After Yashahime era. I'm JP. I'm joined by Noel and Kyle. How are you doing, Noel?
I'm doing fantastic. Everybody out there, watch Birdie Wing. It's fantastic.
That's going to come up a lot on this episode, I predict.
It's going to come up forever.
Yes, Kyle.
It's amazing.
How are you doing?
I have no name and I must podcast.
Before we started the show, you pointed out to me like, hey, you sound like you're a lot more energetic than the last couple of podcasts we've done. And that is because it is 8:20 p.m., and the last podcast we did, I did what, like probably an hour after I woke up. It was too soon. But this is No Name Anime Show. We are starting to just record this whenever the fuck we can. Normally, I would try to put this out Wednesday afternoon, but obviously that has not happened for 2 weeks. I'm not going to stress out about it. We talk about anything on this show. It's an hour long. It could be news. It could be reviews. It could be Twitter questions. Like this week, we have a shitload of Twitter questions. It seems that people are really into telling us what to talk about. It might be a sub-dom thing. I'm not sure. You can download the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. You can get it on Spotify. You can follow us on Twitter. Our handles are in the show notes. And if you want to be like our mystery caller from last week, 2 weeks ago, you can leave a voicemail at 716-46-MOE-43. That's 716-466-6343. Before we get into Twitter questions, though, Kyle wanted to... what's the best word? Redux a conversation from a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, I just want to dive a little bit. I did not write down anything before last time, and I think that ended up... I to the people who don't listen to the behind-the-scenes conversations, I think I bring it up every week of like, man, I really wish I could have done better. And JP's just like, you can do it next time. And then things, we get busy, so I'm going to try right now to talk a little bit more about Turning Red... if that's okay.
That is fine.
All right. I brought up last time Turning Red and my kind of my problems with Disney style animation. I don't know if you have problems with it, Noel, but I definitely have a bone to pick compared to anime and Eastern style. And a lot of this comes down to how I argued. It comes down to the characters, right? See, the problem is in Western animated movies, the characters have more in common in their performances with silent film performances, right? They're very exaggerated. We go back to a lot of like early cinema, right? But the problem is that silent film performances, they have nuance and interpretability because there's silence, right? Like we might get a soundtrack, but there's no words. So it's very much like we're looking at a miming show. Mm-hmm. See, the problem with animation from Disney is we get much more of a, it's like a triple threat of spelling out because we get the miming, we get the radio drama audio, and then we also get like your random music ripped straight from an episode of Sesame Street. Like 1, 2, 3, 4, but instead of literally 1, 2, 3, 4, it'll be like emotionally 1, 2, 3, 4, because they literally think that we're children and we
it
can't
follow.
It sounds like
the opening bar to The Simpsons.
Well, you know, The Simpsons doesn't quite hold your hand that much. I don't know. It's just been really bothering me. And I think that, like, you could argue this isn't necessarily just like a Disney problem. It's not just like an East or West problem. It unfortunately has become that. But, you know, like, I've seen plenty of anime which definitely hold your hand. So I'm not trying to make a blanket statement. And I think that's what I was kind of worried about last time, that it was coming across as me like not knowing what I was talking about, or, you know, maybe there's more nuance. And I wanted to acknowledge that there is nuance in this discussion. Ironically, I think it kind of overlaps a little bit with, like, I've been complaining recently on the podcast too about Ready Player One. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of it though, right? Because representation, or how we carry forward moments and scenes, I think really matters in animation, right? So in Turning Red, we see a lot of, and this is not just exclusive, this I could literally have said, I don't know, what's the Big Hero 8?
Big Hero 6.
Big Hero 6, right. I knew it was a number. Big Hero 6, it could be any of like the recent Disney animated films, right? Like, I think that in part it's that the West has largely, for, or like Disney in particular, has forgotten how to like actually take something from another movie, like a moment or scene or something that's powerful, and then do anything interesting or build upon it. Instead, they just reproduce it, right? It's the Ready Player One of like, ooh, I recognize that. I rewatched, because this is a favorite of mine, the original Vampire Hunter D film, mm-hmm. which film. I don't, oh yeah, no, it's, I know this might be sacrilege to some people, but I vastly prefer it to the sequel Bloodlust, which I love. A different director, of course. That's a, is that an Ikuhara? Not Ikuhara.
I don't know who,
it's the Wicked City guy.
Oh, Bloodlust is Kawajiri, but the first Kawajiri. Movie, I don't know who directed it.
Yeah, they're very different movies, but I don't know if you guys know this, but there is actually a music cue that is ripped almost straight out of Brian De Palma's Blowout. Or sorry, not Blowout, Body Double, which was released, I want to say, maybe, it might even be the same year, but there's like a big gulf between them. And it's not a minor thing. It's not like they dropped it in there because they necessarily want you to recognize it. But what's interesting about the scene, it happens, spoilers for people who haven't seen it. In the scene, D is being confronted by this girl and she literally offers herself up to him. And she says like, I love you. And she tells him in this really great, like metaphor, like sexual kind of lace metaphor of like, you can, if you want to. And she offers her neck. And he's given this great temptation and this music's playing and it echoes the scene from Body Double where he finally gets to see the girl that he's been longing for, that he, you know, in the film, he's like a, where you look through windows at women and there's like a name for it. Anyways.
Voyeurism?
Yeah. He's a voyeur. He's a peeping Tom, right? And he finally gets to meet her and then they kiss passionately and the camera's revolving around them. And in this scene, it's the music is so similar that you're like, if you know, it's one of those things where like if you were to listen to it, it's like, oh, like maybe they, like if lawyers knew at the time, then maybe something would have happened, but it's okay. It's fine. It's Japan in the 80s. They don't care. And you see it and that scene plays, but they use it in such a different way. Like they've taken that same moment and a lot of the same ideas from Body Double, but they've really turned it in there on their own and really done their, like, it's a really wonderful riff, right? Which of course is a musical term itself. And if you watch any of these Disney films, they just don't know how to do it anymore. Like what they'll do is they might take like, it'll be a scene in like Turning Red and the friends will be like, for a second, it'll turn into like a little like Godfather reference or something, right?
Right.
But they're not actually trying to convey like any of the emotion from the Godfather. It's purely about you going like, oh, right, that's from the Godfather. Like they did the motion from the, they pulled me back in.
They did the thing. That's
yeah, they did the thing. But there's no, there's like no recognition from the filmmakers that they know what they're doing. It's like the, how, for Fortnite, right? When they get the dances, they literally just copy the frames over real life dancers.
That is a fantastic example of that.
Right? Like they don't care. They're just like recreating it.
Yeah.
So yeah, anyways, that's my two cents. Thank you.
Nice.
Yeah. My only critique of turning red is they don't talk about 9/11.
I've that not movie, seen obviously, the movie.
There's a lot. That's why I was trying to keep this a little bit more broad as opposed to like shitting on Turning Red in particular.
Oh, no, no.
What did it you take place in 2001?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's like there's some like weirdo YouTube movie reviewer who that's one of his strikes against it.
Yeah. This happened in 2002 and they don't bring up 9/11 all the time. Like if let's put it this way. If the movie was set in Toronto, 2001 on September 11th, and they didn't bring it up, maybe you could be like, all right, that's a really fucking weird decision.
Oh, does it take place in Canada?
Yes.
Yeah. It's a Canadian, it takes place in Canada.
That makes like, if it took place in New York, that's one thing, but like,
right.
You know, I lived in Minnesota when that happened, and like we talked about it when it happened, but a year later, you know, like it wasn't the same for us. We weren't there experiencing it.
Right.
We just saw it on TV, and also we were really fucking young and didn't understand what was going on.
I thought you were going to say we were really fucking high.
We were really fucking high. No, I think I would have been 13 or 14. Not that I wouldn't have smoked weed then, but... Moving on. So we got a lot of Twitter questions, and we're just going to jump right into those. So the first one is from Zan from the Spirikin Manga Review, who I think I've been mispronouncing for 15 years. I believe it's Spirikin. He says, two topics for you. One, thoughts on missed anime series during COVID, like Keep Your Eyes Off Eizouken and Akudama Drive. I don't know about YouTube, but like, I didn't have a job during that. I know Noelle was working, but I didn't have a job. So, like, I didn't have to miss any anime. If I didn't watch a show, it's because I either didn't want to or just because that's how I am. It wouldn't have had anything to do with COVID. But I'm looking at the 2020 list right now, and, like, I watched a lot of this. Jujutsu Kaisen, you know, I watched probably half of Akudama Drive. I watched Yashahime, of course. There was a Grappler Baki season that came out in 2020. Kuma Bear came out then. So I think I watched everything that I wanted to watch.
Oh, was this not specifically talking about Eizouken and Akudama Drive?
I think he was using those as examples.
Okay.
Unless, because he says things like these two. So that implied to me that he meant... like, because those are shows that came out during COVID.
Okay. So he's talking about shows that came out during COVID.
I think that's how I interpret it.
Okay. Well, shoot. I don't... like, yeah. What was coming out that year?
Rent-A-Girlfriend. I know you like that one.
I know a lot of people have been talking about Rent-A-Girlfriend. I've never actually seen it.
Oh, what am I... oh, I think I keep conflating that with Domestic Girlfriend.
Oh, yes. I love Domestic Girlfriend.
Okay, yeah. I just read the current Otaku USA cover story is Rent-A-Girlfriend, and I read that to try to understand you better. It's not even the right show. Kyle's favorite, Fire Force, was in 2020.
Yeah, I actually watched a lot of anime in 2020 because, like you said, like that was when we first started from home, and I still had a HBO Max, so I actually watched Isle of Eizouken. I watched, I want to say, Japan Sinks 2020. That was a 2020 anime, right?
I'm not sure.
I feel like it was. I think those are also both from Studio Saru.
Yes.
Or Science Saru. Correct. So like the same studio. I watched a lot. I have very strong feelings on both. But I don't know. I think that was... like a good time to watch a lot of anime. In fact, I think that's the last time I watched like a lot of current stuff, which is woof.
I thought, honestly, you know, obviously there's the circumstances of COVID. You can't really argue with that being a good thing because it was really bad. Millions of people lost their lives, but the effect that it had indirectly on the creative industry, I thought it actually was better for anime. We had less shows. People got to spend more time with less projects on their plate. At least that's how I interpreted it as a fan. And so
right.
I thought we got stronger shows each season as a result of it. I'm kind of skimming through to see if there's anything else.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Was there any like really big standouts from 2020.
Apollo Ron Man was one of my favorite shows of that year.
I kept hearing good things about that, and that's just one show I did not get to.
That was also the year that Mugen Train came out. We got it in America later, but it came out in 2020 in Japan, I believe.
Okay.
What else?
I mean, shoot, I feel like that's a COVID.
That's a COVID success story.
Yeah, Demon Slayer as a whole, I feel.
Oh, Bofuri came out in 2020. That show's great. ID Invalid is okay. Invaded. What else? Somalian the Giant was really good, or Somalian the Forest Spirit.
Right, yeah. That's the one about like the robot and the kid with horns.
Yes. Oh, the Magia Record was 2020. I didn't watch all of that, but I think it was probably okay. They made like 1,000 episodes of it.
Watch any of that, but I played the cell phone game for like 2 days. Nice. And then when I tried to play it again, the server had like been shut down.
Yeah, I just skimmed through everything, and I didn't see anything that I wanted to watch that I didn't watch. So That's probably good. That's how I prefer to keep it. You know, like right now I'm not watching a ton of stuff, and part of it's just because I've been busy, but it's also because nothing really caught my eye. I watched Birdie Wing because everyone was talking about it. But otherwise, like, I just skimmed through like everything on Crunchyroll to try to find something to watch for the show, and none of it like stuck out to me.
Well, not trying to, you know, segue too bad, but I think that's also partially because we weren't necessarily in the middle of the giant isekai boom that we are currently in.
That is part.
It was like the beginnings of it.
Will isekai series ever stop being made? I think the easy answer is yes.
I feel like we've been in the isekai boom since around like 2015.
But it wasn't as bad. Let's put it this way. Two years ago, they were not starting an isekai-only publication.
That's
okay, fair. Yeah.
That's true. You know, just to show you how bad things have gotten.
Well,
I guess right now we're in the eye of the isekai hurricane. And we're just waiting for the back end to hit us.
The isekai of the hurricane, maybe?
Yes.
Isekai of the hurricane?
The isekai of the hurricane.
So there was a transition from like Trapped in a Video Game to isekai that happened very naturally because they share a lot of similarities. And so I think maybe we just didn't see it happen because it was happening so slowly. And even like the show I just watched today, it's like technically I don't think they're trapped in a video game, but it's literally called RPG Real Estate. Like it's a fantasy world that adheres to RPG rules.
Yeah, I think now that whole setup has just become like freehand kind of for medieval fantasy.
Yeah. But
it's weird.
It'll die out. It'll probably happen slowly and we won't notice it. Cuz I remember very recently I was like, "You know, there haven't been a lot of like slice of life moe shows." And that used to be the big trend.
Mm-hmm.
And
I mean, there are still shows that are kind of like just, hey, the story of this anime is focused around this one girl who has a quirk.
Yeah.
But
it's
yeah.
not the dominating. Like, yes, there will always be at least one isekai type story.
Right.
But I think what he's asking is, will it ever not be the big trend?
Right, yeah, we'll probably get a day where there won't be the strongest sage with the weakest crest, and I'm a demon lord that went to Costco. And
well, I don't want to live in a world without I'm a demon lord going to Costco. the next one we got is from Reverend Tobias. And they ask about the Anime Central fiasco, which there have been some updates. I have not had time to read all the updates.
Yeah, that's one that I've been seeing come up every once in a while, but I'm not sure of the specifics.
So
I was following at least some of Lindsay's tweets.
They're supposed to have their convention this weekend or next weekend, I believe. And they were like, hey, we changed our COVID policy. Now you don't have to have a vaccine or wear masks. And everyone, understandably, was like, hey, guys, you said when I bought this ticket that the COVID policy wouldn't change, and I bought this in good faith, you know, understanding that you would not change it. And now everybody, it's too late to cancel hotels. It's too late to cancel planes. You can't get refunds for your badge. And so a lot of people are really
upset.
That's
just for regular guests, not even talking about how much vendors are getting fucked over.
That too. Ugh. And, you know, even if you don't wear masks all the time now, like, I've gotten more comfortable in New York, at least when I'm outside. I don't always put it on until I, like, get into the store.
Yeah, same
it's
with me.
It's still super fucked up of them to change a policy last minute like that, because
right.
even if it doesn't affect you, it affects probably at least 25%, 50% of the attendees. You know, a lot of people are only going or only comfortable because these policies were in place. Now, there was an update, and I have not had time to read it, but my understanding from skimming it is that they are requiring masks in certain parts of the convention, like if you want to go to a panel or if you want to go in the dealer's room, but that the venue as a whole will not be enforcing masks because I don't know where Anime Central is. Do either of you?
Oh, it's just outside of Chicago.
So I guess the CDC or the government over there just no longer requires it. And that's happening probably everywhere at this point because they're no longer required in New York. You still have to wear them on the subway. But I think that's
right now the numbers are going up too, which is why this is a concerning thing.
There's like, also that
infections are on the crazy rise right now.
I wonder how accurate those numbers are because they stopped testing everybody.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like the numbers are going up, .. And they're basically not testing. So that just tells you that it's only worse than those numbers indicate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not great. I almost wonder.
No, see, like, the part of the controversy also that you maybe didn't see, but Lindsay was tweeting about it, but a lot of con staff wanted to quit. But the problem is that they quit and then ASEN decided to go, hey, you know, like whenever you work for the con or you volunteer, you get put into like a veteran kind of status. And it apparently carries over and like there are some benefits for having been a volunteer for more years. Huh. And people who quit, they announce kind of unceremoniously that, oh, you gave that all up. Like you're losing. Not only are you like, there are going to be penalties like for that, but we're dropping you down to like zero. And then obviously a lot of people got pissed double. And then they tried to like back down on it and be like, oh, well, we're going to try to walk it back. But then the walk back has been like unevenly applied. What so this literally is just like a giant mess.
What does that even mean, though? A veteran, like you're volunteering for an anime.
Well, I think example, if you volunteer a lot, I think you start to get to be able to choose like, oh, I've been volunteering for 10 years. Like I get to basically pick wherever I want to volunteer. So you can get some of like the primo positions.
That's
in terms of like, I don't know, if maybe you really hate one area and you really like another. So like there are reasons that, you know, like, so this is not just like even just guess, like they're literally screwing over their own quote unquote employees.
Yeah.
With this.
It's I don't expect it to happen, but this is the kind of shit that like class action lawsuits are made of. You know, that's a big convention. If enough people were upset about this, they could probably sue the convention.
Yeah.
Especially because they have verifiable proof of them saying we will not change our policies, which is a tweet that's been shared around a lot. And I guess it was like 2 or 3 weeks before they changed their policy. They said that. But yeah, it's a big mess. We'll probably talk about it some more on the newsroom. At that point, I will have maybe read it. We're not going to make any promises. But yeah, really, really shitty. It'll be interesting to see how other cons follow suit, seeing how this happened. I know that Otakon has also said they have like a mask and a vaccination requirement, even though by the time they have that, you know, we're going to be, what, probably a year into mandates being lifted. So it'll be really interesting to see how they handle that or if they double back on their policies as well.
Which I've always found the concept of like people having an issue with mask mandates at anime conventions so weird, because I remember the days when people just wore face masks with like kanji written on them to anime conventions.
Yeah.
But now that it's like a mandate, not just like a like Shibuya-esque fashion statement, it's an issue.
I'm kind of for it. Like I got really used to not wearing it as much because when we were upstate, we were just outside in the wilderness. There was nobody there. And so we didn't have to wear masks when working. But in a fucking convention center with 20,000 people, you know, like that was the first time I didn't get con flu. It was incredible. So moving on, Vinny had a mysterious statement. I don't know if it was a question. And it just says, get wild or Sarah. And I don't know what that means, Vinny. I know where you live. I don't really know where you live. Do either of you have any idea what he's talking about?
I just want to say, I feel like the Andy Daly character from Review, Forrest McNeil, who has to review, "They're all is aching." And he spends the episode trying to figure out what the fuck that means before he finds out it was a typo.
Oh, no.
So, but I'm just saying, Vinny,
the thing is that George Land of Obscugen responded to it like it means something. I didn't write down what George said, but it was like something about like going to heaven. So this
we're not cool enough for Vinny. Vinny's just so much better than us. No wonder he was trying to find the Newsbroom 2.0.
Go heaven, case. Get now, love. I tell you what. What does that mean? This must be like a Kamen Rider reference that I'm not getting.
Nah, I don't get it either.
But I guess
I will choose to get wild.
Yeah. I mean, if I have to pick between the two, I think I'm going to go with Sarah.
I mean, I don't know who Sarah is. Like,
I guess yeah. If you don't get to pick your Sarah, maybe not. But if you do, I think I'll pick Sarah.
Which Sarah then?
I don't know. I was dating a very cool person named Sarah for a while.
Okay.
Maybe does that mean we get to hang out? anyway, moving on. Screamin' Jay Walken, who I believe is a longtime listener, at the very least, longtime Twitter follower. Anime you used to like and now do not. Bonus, anime you're embarrassed you liked, or vice versa, something you disliked at first and now think it's really good. So we can take these one at a time. Anime that you used to like and now do not like. Noel, do you have any?
Let's see. Anime I used to like. I'll say, crap. I love all anime. I'm a radical boy. And
Kyle, do you have any shows used to like and now can't stand?
I mean, yeah, I was one of those people who, like, I was coming up when, like, Blu-ray was starting to come on disc, and I have a lot of early series that I've had to give away to my brother because I cannot have it anymore. We're talking stuff like Bigata HK, or also known as Yamada's First Time.
Bigata HK. It's fantastic.
On my shelf. That was a bestseller on Write Stuff pretty recently. We reported on that.
Yeah, like, you know, I had a copy, and my brother has that now, and I think
now,
he's
JP,
also
do you think
it.
That was a bestseller because people thought it was pornography?
I think it was a bestseller because it was $5.
Yeah, no, I have a lot of series that I used to get, like, literally, I didn't have a lot of money, and I would just buy whatever was on sale.
Yeah.
So I used to get, like, tons of crap. I found some good stuff, too. Like, I accidentally came across Mushishi that way, and that was the best day of my life.
Nice.
But sometimes that means that you buy a copy of, what is it? I also have a copy of
Devil is a Part-Timer.
No. Oh yeah. My God. Okay. For the record, the moment I saw it, I knew I didn't like it, but I bought it and for years, I was the kind of person where I'm like, I love the premise. So people would talk to me. I'd be like, I really like the idea of it. I just have to watch it.
What about?
And I watched it and that was the worst.
Negima. Exclamation point, question mark, the sequel.
Oh, snap. If we're talking about Negima, let me just get in here for a second and say that Ken Akamatsu is a piece of garbage.
Oh, my God.
He's the worst mangaka ever.
He already sucked. And then he got into, like, conservative politics. Like, I've never felt so vindicated.
I know you guys have been talking a lot about him on the newsroom, and each time I'm just like, ah, Ken Akamatsu, you suck.
I still have to go through that whole fiasco because me and Kai were like, we should do this on the No Name show, and then I never looked into it again. Jesus. So anime that I used to like and now do not. The first thing that came to mind, because this is a hard question, but it would have to be Chobits. I don't hate Chobits, but having... So when I originally watched Chobits, I was 17 or 18, and my partner at the time kind of looked like Chi, kind of identified with Chi. I thought that was pretty dope. You know, 17 years old, and your girlfriend wants to be an anime character, you've got it made. but I only ever watched like half the show because the place I was getting the... I wasn't getting fan subs, I was getting DVD rips. And they like skipped an episode or two at one point, or like double posted an episode but had it labeled wrong. I'm like, I can't... The narrative is too important. I can't skip episodes. This is Chobits we're talking about. And I watched it all the way through recently. It took me a while. It took me... couple months. Like, I'd watch two episodes, you know, once every other week or so. And the things that I like about it, I do still like, but holy fuck, that show is creepy as shit when you really get like, down to it.
The more I think about it, the more I'm like, how do you identify with Chi? What is there to identify with?
I don't know if we were cognizant enough to see the, like, pet master situation going on there. So if somebody has that fetish, I can understand. Like, yeah, it would be pretty cool to be Chi and have. But Hideki's such a fucking idiot that, like, he doesn't even realize that he's doing some, like, fetish shit. But also, it's just, like, it's about, like, training your girlfriend to not speak at more than an 8-year-old level, which is just kind of inherently weird.
What?
And I remember... Like, I remember correctly, wasn't there, like, a subplot in there where, like, he had, like, a hot older neighbor who, like, her husband left her for a robot?
Yeah, look, I don't want to spoil Chobits, but that robot was Chi.
Wow.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I think so. Or it was Chi's clone. So you find out at the end of Chobits, spoilers for Chobits.
How would you clone a robot?
Okay, you just make a second robot.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
You find out partway through Chobits that his landlord, who he just hangs out with, which is also like, look, we're already suspending disbelief that you have like a robot girlfriend that you can have sex with. But
hanging out with your landlord?
Get the fuck out of here. You find out that she's like a secret super scientist and has like a secret robot lab under the apartment building. And she's been monitoring Chi so Chi doesn't get her memories back and like destroy the world. Because her husband like developed Chi and he started like really getting into her and to like, I don't know, save the world.
He started really getting into her.
He erased her memory and then put her in the dumpster in the back alley of their apartment. That's why they found, like, you know, if this is such a big problem, why didn't you incinerate her? He just threw the robot in the alley and hoped no one would pick her up. Surely nobody's stupid enough to put their finger in this robot's vagina.
Little did he know.
That's only going to make sense if you've seen Chobits. Anyway, so
all Hideki was trying to do is put his fingers in the robot's vagina.
He got that in the first episode. That's how the first episode ends. And then the music kicks in. He's like, I wonder how to turn her on. Click. It's like, do-do-do-do. Yeah. Like, oh my God. This is ridiculous. And I'm almost certain that that manga was like made for young girls. So what are we doing?
We're teaching young girls to be subservient. That's what they're doing. Clamp is canceled.
Dude, I think this is why so many people in our age group have so many weird fetishes. It's all Chobits and Clamp's fault. So anime that I'm embarrassed that I liked? I don't know. I have a podcast. I say everything I like on here. I don't know if there's anything that I really, really dug that I'd be ashamed of saying that I...
Let's see. I would say probably for a while there was a minute where I was embarrassed of the fact that I liked Manyu Hikensho.
I don't know what that is.
So Manyu Hikensho is an anime about ninjas that have big old titties.
Is this ninja nonsense?
No. I'm not ashamed of that one. Yeah, this one came out, I want to say 2011, 2010. I could look it up, but I chose not to. But yeah, it's about this ancient clan of ninjas that know like boob ninjutsu.
Oh my God.
And
if anything, I've become more delinquent the longer I watch anime. Like, it's only, I'm not exaggerating when I say I didn't read manga porn until this year. And now it's like the best thing ever.
Wow, I was completely right. It was 2011.
Nice.
Yeah.
Kyle, is there anything that you've been embarrassed of?
Oh, man. And with anime? I mean, mostly it's just titles that, I don't know. Like, I get embarrassed.
Oh, you know, I have a better way of wording this. When we say embarrassed around other anime fans, or like, would you not talk about this at work?
Oh, no. See, I have.
Then I can list a lot.
Well, yeah, I just wouldn't talk about anime at work. Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah.
I'm not going to talk about Dick Fight Island at work, except I did.
I met my best friend legitimately by talking to him about it's a Detroit Metal City.
Oh, man. Oh,
Detroit Metal City.
And it turned out that he ended up being like, at the time I met him, he was a fundamentalist, like, Christian guy. I had just met him, and I didn't know. And I showed him an episode, and it was a disaster. Yeah. And I just thought, well, that's it. Cool. Me and him aren't going to be friends. Cue to a few years later, I'm one of his groomsmen at his wedding.
Awesome.
And he watched, and for the record, he has seen Detroit Metal City since, and now he likes it. So.
And now he wears the Krauser makeup all the time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, maybe not that. But, you know, okay. I'm just saying that, like, I'm not never too embarrassed to talk about anime.
I used to have Koi Kaze on DVD, and I think if anybody asked me what it was about, I would lie about it. That okay. conversation never came up, though.
They have Cool Devices on DVD.
Cool so. Devices Yo, probably cool rules. Isn't that just, devices? Like, fetish porn?
Yes.
I think
yes,
so. It is.
Okay, so the reverse of
isn't one of the Cool Devices episodes about like an island where they kidnap tourists and then have sex with
them? I have no idea. I legitimately got it as part of an anime like lot sale on okay. eBay.
Man, that's
right. Sad. I'm like, I just wanted another title and they sent it to me. And I'm like, what's this? And I found out pretty quickly.
That what you just described sounds like a sexy version of Hostel.
It pretty much was, yeah. Like, and then when they got finished having sex with them, they like threw them down a garbage chute.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So the next part is anime that you didn't like the first time and now you really like it. I think we'll do Noel first.
Let's see. Anime like when I started it and now I really like it, would probably be Blast Writer.
Dude.
I was not on board with that initially because the CG looked kind of terrible. And then the more I watched, the more I was like, wow, this actually slaps and is amazing.
I have not seen Blast Rider in a while, but I wrote a really fun review for Anime 3000 about that, where I compared one of the characters to the Berries and Cream guy.
The second opening for that show, it's like one of the best anime songs I've ever heard.
That's awesome. That show is I believe that's Ichiro Tano, who gave us such wonderful things like Gantz, and
Itano directed Gantz.
I believe yes. so. I think he
that's
also
why
directed
it's so
Violence
insane
Jack.
At the end.
Oh, that you know what? All respect. You guys know I'm a big fan. So
it's a different kind of circus. Kyle, what about you?
I mean, I think this is a lot of anime, right? But I have to give my shout out. Technically anime. I'm going to say it. Final Fantasy Spirits Within. Technically anime, maybe.
I mean, if it was made by a Japanese studio, then
I mean, it was made Japanese by a they technically were East and West in Hawaii, but that's right in the middle. So I'm going to say it can count for both.
It's based off a Japanese property. I don't know. I don't know what
Japanese
makes
director.
Oh, well, that also... Yeah, I would say that's probably anime.
Yeah, I think it can be classified as both. But yeah, you know, I love that movie's messed up in some ways, but I love it. I'm a hopeless guy when it comes to that movie.
I have a couple. I have a few shameful ones. The first time I watched Cowboy Bebop and Trigun, I was kind of bored. And those later became some of my favorite shows ever. I used to think Lupin the Third was boring, and I didn't become a super fan, but I learned to appreciate Lupin. But I think the biggest one for me would be Rain the
Devil
Conqueror.
Devil Hunter Yoko.
Rain the Conqueror and Ghost in the Shell.
Oh, okay.
Rain the Conqueror was like one of the most hated Adult Swim anime for a long time. I'm like, yeah, this show's stupid, all the fucking codpiece. You know, I don't need to see Alexander the Great's junk. Except it turns out 15 years later, I did want to see Alexander the Great's junk, and I watched Rain the Conqueror, and it's so fucking good that I wish they made another season.
Turns out Rain the Conqueror is the prequel to Dick Fight Island.
Oh my god. Well, you know, it's funny because like the outrageous outfits really got played up by the forums at the time. You kind of forget about it partway through the show because the story's so interesting.
Mm.
That doesn't mean I think Peter Chung should ever be hired again.
But yeah, Peter Chung should absolutely be hired again. Give that man a raise and a director's chair.
Nah, give that man the chair.
I remember the characters in Rain having very unique ears. But I really liked that show a lot. And Ghost in the Shell, the first time I watched it, I fell asleep. And then I watched it when it came out in 4K, and I didn't quite get it, and it didn't have the impact on me that it has on everybody else, but it is one of the most beautiful anime films I've ever seen. Like, just from pure aesthetic. The original.
Which movie?
Ghost in the Shell.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I had the worst experience with that, because I was, I had gotten it from the library, and I was watching it, and that classic meme happens where, like, everything's, like, you could watch a movie for, like, five movies, and nothing will happen, and then you get to one sex scene, and then, like, a sibling or parent walks in, and goes, what you watching? And it was right in the scene where she rips off her shirt.
The start of the movie.
Yeah, but, like, it happened.
Yeah.
And I just had to like sit there and try to play it cool. I'm like, yeah, just watching a movie.
That's pretty funny.
And it was so, and they decided to, of course, sit down and watch it with me. And I had to quickly back out and be like, nah, it was boring. And I just, and that's literally the last time I watched it.
You know, another one that I initially did not like, but I learned to appreciate was Final Fantasy Unlimited.
Oh, nice. I've never seen that one.
It is.
Dezaki?
I think so. It's a pretty dumb show. It, like, I remember I started watching it after playing Final Fantasy X, and I was like, this isn't like the game. And then
that's the other Final Fantasy series. Okay.
Yeah, this is the one with the guy who has the gun that shoots summons out of it. It's like a big like transformation sequence of him like taking out the gun and picking the right bullets to like make a combination and summon a summon spirit.
Sounds more like Persona than Final Fantasy.
I really hated Ava for a long time. I just remember really? That. And I haven't finished it, but I've grown to really appreciate Ava.
Now that I think about it, I do remember you talking about Ava back in the Fight Bait days.
Yeah, I just like, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. And also the dub is bad. I think I just don't like Spike Spencer. I can't stand
him. Okay.
I agree, but like, for me, I was the classic person who at the time was just, I didn't have depression or anything or like, yes, you like, know,
Shinji's such a wuss. It's like,
yeah, I was the stereotypical, like good in the robot. And now that I do have that, I just have so much empathy.
Oh my God.
For Shinji that yeah. like, it's a completely different night and day experience.
When I rewatched the first Rebuild movie, I was like, he gets in the robot right away. And also he's like, he's sad because his dad is an abusive asshole and like is only using him to, you know, fulfill his own means of working up some weird, I don't know, secret cabal ladder or whatever the fuck they're doing in that show. I don't know what Ava's about.
Teens are sociopaths. It's all that it comes down to. There's, you know, you
bigger
need a little
than
more
Gendo?
Life experience.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, nah, like those kids got issues, but like Gendo takes the cake with all of his I got monsters in my hand.
So we have some joke tweets from Ryan or Broendo. Why does time march onward and drive us all to the inevitable dark empty end? I'm not going to dignify that with an answer.
I also like BoJack Horseman.
Why do I have to grow weaker with time? Why must I die? Are these BoJack quotes or is he just having a crisis?
The first one is a BoJack quote. The second one, no.
Then he says, also, if you watch Spy X Family, that shit looks cute AF. Maybe I'll rewatch anime again before I die. The cruel and cold death, if death gives life its ultimate value, would we be ambivalent if we got to gain immortality? I'm freaking out. Oh my God. Well, Ryan, you are...
I mean, that last part sounds like a Ranking of Kings reference.
Yeah. I like that he says that he hasn't watched Spy X Family, but he's considering rewatching it.
He's saying, I'll rewatch anime. It implies that he's already finished anime. And you know what? Maybe Spy Family is what's going to get him to come back around.
We pronounce the X's on this podcast, Kyle.
But do you pronounce them as X or cross?
I don't know. After the
some animes, it's like it'll be cross. And is then it sometimes called, it's not pronounced. And sometimes it's pronounced like the X.
Is it pronounced cross-ammed?
Maybe.
What?
Cross-examined.
Oh, damn. My God.
It's actually pronounced cross-arm.
Yeah, it's actually pronounced we're French.
Spy cross family.
Spy, yeah, you're a spy and you got to double cross your family.
That would not surprise me. Anyway, moving on, Otaku Crack. Thoughts on the lesbian golf anime? We talked about that last episode.
Great. It's awesome. It's fantastic. The last episode ended with a lady saying, let's start the ultimate golf game, one where both of our lives are on the line.
Oh my God.
And then it ended on like a pastel shot of both of them facing off with each other as like thorns and roses appear in the background. So
I have not watched beyond episode 2. I tried to watch episode 3 the other day, and this is not something I'm proud of, internet, but it's what happened. I smoked way too much weed and couldn't read the subtitles, so I had to turn my TV off. It was a lot. I have no idea what happened in that episode. But also, after last week when we talked about that, and I was like, you're getting any Yuri vibes? I'm getting some Osamu Dezaki vibes. You're like, I don't know, man. I went and read some reviews, and I'm not crazy. Other people were getting the vibes.
Yeah, the vibes are there. Maybe vibing.
Good vibes. What else? He also says, has Vinny taken patronage from Big Milk? Yes, maybe. I'm not sure what Vinny has done to let you in on his milk schemes, but I am keeping an eye on him.
He's trying to branch out from tomatoes.
Oh my God. When I asked him if he was a tomatoologist and he's like, actually, yes. That's got to be one of the best moments in podcasting. Then finally, with two shows having rap battles this season, I didn't know that. Should more shonen anime contain rap battles? Probably, right?
I would say no, because I kind of don't like Japanese rap. And I think part of it might have something to do with the fact that I do not speak Japanese. So yeah. The cadence of their music like seems off to me, and it's hard for me to like really get into their flow.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Much of rap is being able to appreciate the like creative lyricism. If you can't understand the lyrics, that takes a lot out of it.
Yeah. Right.
You don't have to speak a language to like music. So
I'm not talking about music and their music in general. I mean, specifically when I hear rap in another language, I'm just like, nah, something off here feels off.
Yeah, unless like the beat or the chorus is really good, there's not a lot to grasp onto.
Right.
You can still enjoy it, but no, I know exactly what you're talking about. Because like when I see people like share freestyles or whatever, like I'm listening to the words. I'm not thinking about like the flow. I'm just like, holy shit, Like, that's really cool that, you know, they made this metaphor or whatever.
Like, I'm not, I like, when I listen to Japanese rap, I have no problem enjoying it. Like, honestly, it's not like I enjoy it because it's like it, we do hear enough of it. I mean, you know, like, I don't listen to dubs. Like, I watch everything subbed. So, like, I'm listening to Japanese all the time. I can hear the difference between like regular sung Japanese and regular, like, I don't know what they're doing in like specifically, but like, I can hear that it's musically interesting and, you know, they're playing around with, yeah, I just don't have that problem.
Yeah. Like, any other genre of music is fine, but yeah, something about rap just like throws me off.
I like J-rock and J-pop. And I, one of my favorite things is when they randomly insert an English word. And like, right. I don't have like the context to understand why it's cool. It just feels cool. Or like just the chorus is in English or something. It's, I don't know. It's always exciting to me.
You're like, whoa, that's my language.
I know that word. I don't know what it means in, well,
it's
this
like
song.
When you randomly throw down a Spanish word, you know, in the middle of a song, it'd be like, hey, papacita, you know, what's, you know, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, and you're just throwing out. I was just using that as an example, everyone. I'm not going to even attempt to rap.
I don't.
When you're like, mamma mia.
Yes. It's, whoa, never racist.
I didn't know Elon Musk was on this podcast.
I'm watching the kakiguri.
I don't pay the taxes. Mikey Shioda, who I believe, I think they're still active, Anime Bebe podcast. What are your top anime of the spring season so far? I feel like overwhelmingly it's going to be Birdie Wing.
Yes.
That's the only one I've really watched that has done anything for me.
Yeah, for me it's Birdie Wing and your boy Kong Ming. And right now, I'm not sure about the third one. I am like dancing between Ao Ashi and Dance 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 Year. Nice. It'll depend on when I see more episodes of that.
I need to watch.
Also, online. Mime's getting kind of interesting again.
Nice. I need to pick that one back up.
It had like a rough introduction because they just, spoilers, they just bring Amo back.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, like he's not even dead a full episode and they bring him back.
Oh,
like,
that's a bummer.
Right.
I was really hoping they would like commit to that.
Yeah, but it seems more like something's going on with him. He's dealing with a lot right now. So that might be interesting.
Kyle, you're not watching any current anime, are you?
No, I'm sorry, everybody.
Moving on, we might actually get through these. Ed the Crimson, in High Score Girl, the main character remembers different times in his life by associating them with whatever version of Street Fighter was out at the time. Are there any anime that, when you think about them, puts you in a specific time and place? I don't know, probably Yu Yu Hakusho and Inuyasha. I definitely associate with high school.
Yeah, I associate Full Metal Alchemist more with high school.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Kyle, is there anything that you can think of?
Well, I mean, some of them. I mean, for example, I remember when I first got Madoka, because that was the big Otakon. My first Otakon, that was the big anime that they were promoting. And I ended up buying all of the like limited collector edition Blu-ray sets, sight unseen, just because everyone was talking about it so like heavily. It's lucky I ended up liking the show, because otherwise I would have spent a lot of dough for no reason.
You know what? Yeah, like Madoka, I associate that with like my early 20s, when I was just kind of like roaming around at any time of night, just hanging out with my friends and watching anime.
Yeah, that's a good time, you know. Yeah. And of course, like things like that were on Toonami. Like, I didn't get to watch a lot of it. My family only had cable for like a month before my religious parents ended up taking it away because we liked it too much. That's the story of my life. But I remember that month was lit. Let me tell you what. Wow. You know, I watched as much G Gundam and Yu Yu Hakusho. And at the time, I guess I could put this Rurouni Kenshin. That's something I can't.
Well, yeah, G Gundam, that is the devil's work. There's
I think it's okay to say that you liked Kenshin. I don't want to give that guy money now. No,
I don't like Kenshin now because I don't like it. Like, I literally don't think it's a good show. Yeah. But
I liked the show when I watched it. I would not buy it again, and I don't feel like I need to watch it again. But
yeah,
it definitely was a formative show for my anime tastes. And
yeah, so, you know, like that brings me right back, you know.
Chobits I actually associate with my first apartment because I watched it on my iPod 5th generation, which had like a little postage stamp size screen. And I would watch the dubbed version on that as I was going to bed.
Oh man. I, when it comes to anime that you watched in your first iPod, for me, it was Speed Grapher, which is
nice.
Also a horrible show. it's a horrendous show where a man in his 30s falls in love with a teenager. And then he gets...
Doesn't he photograph things and they explode?
Yeah, he gets photographic, like, eye powers.
Yep. I think that the Ladybugs Man's question may be too big to do right now. I can
Read it. That seems like a...
That almost seems like a whole episode.
Yeah, for real.
So his question was, pick a random year and talk about your favorite or least favorite anime from that. Also, which is the best year for anime feat? I feel like maybe we could do an episode where each of us picks, I don't know, a couple of our favorite years and talk about shows. I wrote an entire series about this, like 10, 20,000 words. So it's hard to do that when we only have 4 minutes left in a podcast.
Yeah, we'll do a follow-up. Right. We'll do it next week when we do the next episode.
Yeah, we could actually, that could be a fun idea. Is we each like pick a few years and talk about some of our favorite shows from the last decade or so.
You know, yeah, that could rock.
Then John Ronald, 71, have you seen the new Chunibyo movie? It takes place after the events of season 2. Of Chunibyo and Other Delusions.
There's a Chunibyo movie?
That's what I said. Season 2, I believe, is it Love, Chunibyo and Other Delusions? I thought there was like another amendment to that, like And Chocolate or something. or no, there's a show called Love and Chocolate. Anyway.
Twins.
If you like the series, that's a nice capper. I still have not finished season 2. I really, really, really like Chunibyo. That is a show I'm not embarrassed of. but I only have seen the first season, and I feel like they probably should have just stopped it there. Like, the story was done. But they made another season. It's okay. I've watched half of it. I know that there's OVAs and movies. I did not know. When they say new movie, I believe they mean the 2018 film. Mm-hmm. I haven't gotten around to it. There's so much Chunibyo now that it's a little intimidating.
Gotcha.
Have either of you watched any Chunibyo? I'm going to take a guess that Kyle is not.
I know what it's about.
I watched like a handful of episodes. I just never finished it. It's the one with the girl with the eye patch, right?
You're going to have to be more specific than yes. Yes, it's the one with the eye patch.
She does have an eye patch, though.
It's the Kyoani show with the girl who has the eye patch. Jeez.
Yes. Oh, you know a show that I liked when it came out and now don't? Dot Hack Legend of the Twilight. I just rewatched that. It's terrible.
I mean, I didn't like it when it came out, and then I didn't like it more when I rewatched it.
I remember
it's such a weird thing in like the world of Dot Hack.
It doesn't make any sense. And I remember oh, this is brother and sister want to bang. This is gross. And then I'm as an adult, like, that's the only good part about this anime.
What do you mean the only good?
What? Oh, I gotta play the music. This has been the Gonzo.moe No Name Show.
Corrections will be issued next week, I'm certain.
JP making a tactical retreat.
Don't watch Dot Hack Legend of the Twilight. It's terrible. The manga's bad. It's not even good fetishy.
I can already guess what some of your favorite anime from the decade are going to be.
It's I Don't Like You at All, Big Brother.
Yasuga,
I Can't Sora. Believe My Sister's This Cute. What's that one about my mom lifting dumbbells?
Wait, what? I don't even know that one.
This is the Gonzo.moe No Name Anime Show. You can find us on Spotify, on Google, on iTunes. iTunes doesn't exist anymore. I don't know. There's an app on your phone. It's like a little guy wearing two lifesavers when he was swimming, and he's purple. You click that, you type gonzo.moe, you hit subscribe. We do this show once a week, but maybe not much longer now that they're going to abandon me. You can leave us voicemail at 716-46-MOE-43. That's 716-466-6343. You can follow us on Twitter. I think I already said that. Leave us Twitter questions. It's great.
Leave us voicemails.
Leave us voicemails. Leave your questions as voicemails.
Leave a voicemail that says, hey, JP, what was up with that thing you said about being attracted to your sibling?
They're step siblings. Goodbye.
Jesus.
I don't think they're really related in Dot Hack. I think they're like half brother and sister. That's kind of that. Kind
That's
of.
The trick they play. It still counts. Related. It rounds up.
Okay. You two acting like you've never been on Pornhub.
JP.
Yeah, I'm just
like
saying
domestic
that, you know,
girlfriend it, where they
hey, you know what? We've all hit that thread, you know, that topic on Pornhub, but you know, but like that's separate from Dot Hack.